showing up. We were showing up in like, I don't know what kind of time. It was on time. So anyway, we wrote these. The Andi going. No, Andi thought series. We have Andi thought divorce was bad. And I thought being grown up was easy. I'm trying to get her to make her do something my way over here.
No, it's not going to happen. And I thought you could juggle it all. And I thought I did my journey alone. And I thought he was the one. I'm just going to hurry this up. Because we're late. And so everything, you can find out about the ladies and everything that we do on AngryReport.com or the books on Amazon.com. Because we are super late. We have nothing else to say. And you guys, we're going to start with, this is our
Advocates Round
Table. And this is part of us giving back, and we really think that everyone should give back.
Honestly, we're hoping that you guys give back to them. That is the point of this. You guys give back to them.
Because they are very awesome people, and we're going to start with Marilyn, not because she's more important, just because she's my school was on. So, Marilyn, would you like to introduce yourself?
For me, Monica's face came up, so I thought I must have misheard. So I'm Marilyn. I've got no idea what I've let myself in for tonight, so I'm going out there blind. My name's Marilyn Hawes, and those of you who don't know me, I'm founder and CEO of Freedom From Abuse, and the reason we exist is to prevent, well, wouldn't that be nice, but we can do some of this, prevent child sexual abuse, with making great waves in the UK. We should be making tsunamis, quite honestly, for the impact it causes. So it's just a joy to be going stateside. And what we're doing here is it's innovative, and it's not the sort of thing that the UK does, and it really irritates me. And the systems here don't work. It's appalling, absolutely appalling. So you get worn out with it after a while, but then you lovely girls pop up, and I go, you brighten my day again. In what is a very toxic, black, vile, sinister, totally unpleasant area, but our training had a massive result the other day. I just went into a school a few weeks ago, and we're trying to teach children as well about critical thinking, the need to really understand what you're doing on the internet and why you're doing it, or should you be doing it, because again, everything over here is terribly politically correct, it's terribly proper, and I'm not any of that, because I don't think that works. Just tell it like it is. Nail it. Get down and dirty and do it. You know, there's no point poncing around in an ivory tower speaking all the posh words that our government says. It, you know, it's a grotty subject and you've got to hit it face on. But this little girl, bless her, I had just talked to her at the whole school, and I'd gone into different classes, and again, something we're not good at here, and we don't talk about sex in the UK, do we, you know? They're still very anal about it. And I just happened to say to the children, what do you understand about consent, and what do you understand about abuse? And those are just two very basic questions that we should be having. The children should be brought up at their mother's knees, understanding that consent actually doesn't mean no. It also means understanding the consequences of any decision you make. Every decision you make has a consequence, no matter how old you are. And so what if I don't go to university? What's that going to mean? What's it going to mean if I do go? And I was talking to some corporates the other day who said, they only really want to employ people who understand critical thinking. And really, that's what it is. So I don't know how long you want me to babble on for. Do you want me to shut up?
No, thank you so much. And then we're going to introduce Va.
So, anyway.
We're going to introduce Va. And we'll be right back.
We'll be back.
After Monica, we'll be back. Va, Mr. Va.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rob Shear, and I am the founder of a charity called Comfort Cases. It's a charity that's hoping to give hope and dignity to our foster youth. Here in America, as you think that, you know, you guys have problems across the pond, here in America, our biggest issue is the fact that we have a shattered system. We have over 430,000 children in our system. Only 54% of these kids will graduate from high school. Only 13% will actually apply for a college, and only 2% go to college. Two out of every three children that are in the system are going to either die or go to prison. Two out of three. These numbers are not acceptable. So 5 years ago, my husband and I started a charity to give what we call comfort cases to kids who are entering the system instead of them carrying a garbage bag. And that's exactly what they carry. I started my journey when I was 12 years old in the system carrying a trash bag. I went from home to home until I was 18 and became a homeless teenager, literally living on the streets carrying a trash bag. I knew that I deserved better. And so 9 years ago, I opened up my door and adopted 4 children out of care. And I was absolutely shocked that they carried trash bags. And so since then, when we started our charity 5 years ago, we are a 97% volunteer-run charity that has given out 40,000 cases to 39 states, including D.C. and Puerto Rico. And I will remind everyone that every single person who lives in our country, including you across the pond, Marilyn, we're all part of one community, a community of one. Absolutely. And we should all be taking care of each other. So that's me, and that's Comfort Cases.
Okay, Monique, I'm sorry we're moving so fast. I have so many questions each time someone speaks. I'm like, Monique, I know. Monique.
Hello, guys. My name is Monique Thornton. I'm the founder of Powerful Beginnings Nonprofit. We're now in Atlanta, Georgia. We assist women with rebuilding their lives after abuse. I am a survivor of domestic violence myself. My journey began as a 4-year survivor who went through ups and downs, and my last straw was being held over a balcony by one leg and left for dead. So once I healed and was able to regain my steps, I wanted to help women in the system with rebuilding what they had, everything, because I left with nothing but the clothes on my back. So I wanted to give them what they didn't have. So we assist with job interviews, helping them get back on their feet with housing, clothing, interviewing skills, job management, financial management, and also just being able to counsel their kids and then counsel themselves, because that's the mental portion is the big thing. Being able to reestablish themselves and go back into the work field, and also just regain their confidence. And we help them with those different steps, which makes it easier for them to rebuild and start healthy relationships again. We also assist teenagers with learning how to date healthy so they can see the signs and the warning signs in other people who they thought would love them or they thought was love and it really wasn't. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you guys for all showing up and then being here and waiting for us when we're late. So we thank you. So my question is to you guys. I know I have a question, and it's a mean question, but it's a good question. People sometimes, they want to know, why is it important for me to donate to nonprofits? Why? I mean, I need money, they need money, but I need money too. Why should I give my money to nonprofits?
I believe. Go ahead, Ms. Marilyn.
Because we can't do everything for free. And to get your name out there requires marketing yourself. I mean, you will have heard of this huge charity called NSPCC, yeah? They get about £400 million worth of donations. And I think if you can afford to put your charity on the TV and advertise and send to every single person in the UK at Christmas, free Christmas cards and a pen to promote yourself, you don't need funding at that level. And I was on Sky News only 2 days ago talking about the atrocity of people who just happily fund these big charities, but yet there are wonderful charities like Rob and Monica who are small, like we're doing, right at the coalface, right as frontline practitioners, giving everything and relying, as you two guys do, on volunteers. And it's dreadful. You drive in England, you'll see Ferraris, you'll see all sorts of Lamborghinis. Money is still there. And yet, people are mean. It's too much society is about I, what's in it for me, me, me. And people seem to have forgotten that, as Rob quite rightly said, we are all one race. We are all here for a purpose. And we are all here to be each other's arms and legs and help other people walk, talk, and live. And I think if we take our pain, as I did with the sexual abuse of my 3 children and the pain that Monica and Rob has experienced, and put that back in, that's great. And that's using the tragedies that have happened to us, you know, to put something back in. And why are people funding us? Why are people donating? Why are people, you know, I was on, you might not have heard of a show called Loose Women, and it's a very popular show. And I had 23,000 hits on our website that day, and I went on that show and I bared my soul, right? Not one person gave £1. So if you think, you know, £23,000, $23,000, if one and every person had put $1, £1, how many children would that have helped? So you bothered to look at the website, but you didn't bother to click that little button. And the lack of generosity and emotional generosity, I just find heartbreaking.
So that saddens my heart to hear you say that, because we live in a country that we are top when it comes to giving back. Most of you might not realize that the actual statistics show that charities like ours are actually based on what they call the small dollar giver, the giver who actually is that individual and not that corporation or that grant. And I talk about, you know, our charity that, you know, it's a privilege to give back. And we have people giving back. I did a video about 3 weeks ago in reference to the migrant children that were crossing the border and that are ending up in our foster care system. I put my heart on the line and said I needed because I needed to make sure that these kids got cases. In less than 3 weeks, I was able to raise $80,000. I have no corporate sponsors whatsoever. Last year, with the help of media and with the help of my community, and again, my community is everyone who actually sees one of our videos, our charity raised a little over $1.5 million, and we're still a small charity. So the fact is why people should give. People do give here in the States. People give when you touch their heart. You have to touch their heart. You know, I say three things to my children all the time. And ladies, I told you this when we interviewed. I tell my children, number one, you must use your listening ears. Every single person that you meet, they have a story. You must use your kind words, because never, ever, ever have we changed anything with hateful words. But the most important thing that we must do is we must lead by example. You know, people say to me all the time, why do you do this charity? You know, you're an executive. You don't have to do this. Why? And I say, because I want my children to look back and say that their dads were doers, that their dads did not sit on the sideline and watch a game being played. They got in it and they played it. Be part of the change. If you're going to complain about the system, get in and change the system. That's why you should give back.
Monica?
I believe giving back in Georgia is huge right now. And also being able to see that people are, what they're giving towards is working. Now, I won't say that it was easy. I would say there was definitely a struggle, and still a struggle daily, to be able to see, let people see your vision and let people see that, you know, they're giving to something that is going to be fundamentally helping another person and not just helping. I think a lot of the time, there has been a big stigma where people get grant money and use it more for themselves than others, and they'll do maybe one event or two events. And I've heard these things, and I heard that people don't want to give because of those type of things and their mismanagement of funds. But like Rob said, I believe that there's something that people will need to see, is that their money is going toward great things and their hearts are being, you know, touched, because they know that they trust you with your vision. They trust you with your organization, that your organization will do what it said it's come to do. Your mission and your vision is everything. So if people see that and it's done in through action, not just words, but through action, they'll invest.
Can I just say, I think the difference is child sex and abuse is something people still don't want to acknowledge happens. And I think it isn't. You see people, we do give a lot in the UK. We will give stuff in the Sudan. We'll give stuff when there's an earthquake. Sorry, there's a thunderstorm going on here. We'll give to all sorts of things in the tsunami when it happened. Massive givers. And we do give loads, you know, to sport relief, comic relief, all that stuff. But I think the trouble is with our charity, it's about child sexual abuse, and people are almost, I would think, almost feel guilty by association. It's, I mean, they'll buy sanitary towels for the African girls in Africa, you know, and stuff like that, and tents and equipment for malaria. We are a massive country of givers, but this particular subject is still one of the toughest. Child sexual abuse is still the hardest thing to raise money for, even though one in 20 children in this country, and there's over 12 million of them, are being sexually abused. 80% never report it. It's rife everywhere. Still, there is this resistance to come on board. You know, it's terrible. I just don't understand it when it is such a massive problem in society. And, of course, domestic abuse links with it. The foster care, and we do a massive amount of work training foster carers. I mean, they are the unsung heroes of society. What would children do without foster parents? I mean, they're angels.
Well, you know, I will say to Marilyn that is the one common connection I feel that the three of us have as panelists, is that every single one of our charity is a charity that people do not want to talk about. You know, Monica, I grew up in the youngest of 10 children. My mother was married 6 times. I lived in every battered women's shelter there is in the state of Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. And I will tell you right now, one of the things that people don't want to talk about are the women who are being battered. And the reason for that is because once you start talking about it, you must make change. The same thing when it comes to foster care. We do not see people talking about foster care because, once again, once you start talking about the F word, you must start making change. And when it comes to sexual abuse, and understanding that, you know, foster care and sexual abuse and battered women, they are all tied together. All tied together. People do not want to talk about it because, once again, if you talk about it, then you must make change.
Yes.
Okay, I feel bad because you picked the theme. Like, when I picked the three of you guys, there was quite a few other. I was like, no, these are the three, because I was like, first of all, they all link together, and then no one wants to talk about them. Like, illiteracy, we had one about sports and lacrosse, and I was like, no, but you guys are going to be fine. No one wants to talk about foster children, sexual abuse, and domestic abuse. They're still, like, really hidden in society, and that's literally the reason that I was hoping the three of you guys could help each other, and we could try to help you guys as well. And you guys already answered my question, so I'm going to just let Monica, like, can I actually ask the question I was going to ask? And then Monica can go ahead. The other two are already done. I want to be a little selfish and get my question out there.
Yes, no problem.
I'm going to be, how can we wake up people in the ivory tower? But, you know, Marilyn's already answered about, like, you know, going around, and they're like, no, this is givers, but you need to just talk about it. And then Rob's already answered, like, you know, they connect, but no one wants to talk about it. So now your turn.
Oh, you guys want me?
Sorry about that. Yeah, so how can we wake up people in the ivory tower?
Well, basically, to wake up people is to be able to touch them with your mission. People have to see. They can't just hear about it. They have to see that you're doing things. I was told when I started my organization that people are not going to just listen to you. They have to see you they have to see you out doing things. They have to see you, you know, meeting people, networking. So I always, like, networking is my biggest thing, because without them seeing it, they're not going to trust that they can just give me their money. Because with domestic violence, I cannot put a customer or a client in your face. I can't say, hey, she's a battered woman. Then, because there's always this rules and this laws, and they cannot just be put out there because they're escaping it, and they can't just put out there because their aggressor might find them. So you have to see that we are doing things, that, you know, we're helping them, but we're also changing lives in order to do that. So we show things that when we go into schools and we teach, we show things that we're able to put out there. Hey, you know, we're helping these young ladies learn. But education is our big thing, and that's our forefront, but helping women on the back end, that's going to be a thing. So women, people, is going to be, we're showing you now what we're doing. We're here for that.
You know, and understanding that education is the keys to success. And that's across the board, by the way. That's not, has anything to do with just foster care, anything to do with battered women, anything to do with sexual abuse. Education, and by the way, I do not mean education as in get into a classroom and read a book. I'm talking about educating our communities on what's going around and what's going on in the surrounding areas. You know, the same thing, you know, just exactly what you go through when it's, you know, you can't put that child on TV who's been sexually abused, nor are you, you know, I just was blessed to be the CNN hero, and it took me a year to get a court to allow me to film a child in care, a year. And so, and I end up having to leave my state and go to Colorado to do this with CNN, because again, people don't want to talk about it. People don't want to show it. And you don't want to show it for lots of reasons, but you know what? I have to tell you, we have to start showing it.
We do.
People are visual. They're visual. We have to start showing it.
But in another life, I was actually a deputy head teacher, and I'm a massive fan of education per se, right across, as you say, mums, dads, society. And there's two quotes I love from Nelson Mandela, and one I always use on my training. Nelson Mandela said, the only weapon you have to change the world is education. And the other one he said was, society is judged by how we treat our children. And we're not doing great. We're seriously not doing great. And it is about going, I think, it's because the training that we do in schools is bringing disclosures of sexual abuse. And as Monica said, when you get in there and you get in front of them and you show them your passion and you show them the results of what you're doing and the way you're evolving and the growth you're going through, people do catch on to that. But still the money doesn't seem to come. But, right. You know, I just think if you can save one child, and we did this training, and we just went into schools, and I just sit with them like I'm their mum. And this little girl, actually, 3 days after we'd been in there, she went to her teacher, and I just talked about consent and what abuse feels like. Now, like you, Monica, I came from a domestic abusive marriage. You know, what does it feel like? And I agree with Rob, I personally am a very much a visual learner, and I think you remember the visual. Some people are passive learners, and I'm not. I'm an active, you know, visual learner. And if you get out there, a lot of our training is using visuals, so it's memorable. But it is so important that we go into the early years. Where do these issues start? You know, with the parenting that creates a child to then need to be fostered. What went wrong in those early years? We've got to get down to basics and get parenting really understood. And, you know, what swearing at children does to them, you know, what abandoning them does, what hitting them does, what not, you know, even down to communication skills. So, you know, I don't know if it's the same in America, but, you know, the baby buggies, the strollers. When I have my children, I'm a dinosaur, you know, my children sat in a pram in a buggy looking at me. So all the time we were talking, all the time we were communicating, smiling, making silly jokes, laughing. Now it's the other way around. The child faces the world. Anyone could be pushing his pram. I mean, the communication starts from the moment that child is born by looking in that child's eyes, all those little skills and, you know, and postnatal depression, what impact's that having on your baby? Look, there's so much stuff that needs to be done and talked about to get better outcomes.
I agree.
I ask the question, what do you guys really need right now from the people who are going to be watching this?
Money.
Yes.
Money.
So we can do more. And people out there, so you can have people who have the expertise. I can teach, I can write programs coming out my ears. I am not a business person. I need someone who knows how to run a charity from a business aspect, who knows how to do all these. I'm not an accountant. I struggle with my tax. I don't know how to do it. We need to be able to make us more effective, we need to be able to pay for people. Oh, pro bono, wouldn't that be lovely?
Monica, do you agree with that on the money aspect?
I do. It's kind of funny we say this because I just, a few weeks ago, finished a course on grant writing because it's just, it's money is needed. I said, hey, I can't get someone who just will not charge me an enormous amount of money just to write a grant. Let me learn it myself. Let me be an asset to my own company, my own organization. Let me be an asset to other people who want to start their organization. And that will still bring in funds this way. So I'm looking at every avenue to be able to help my organization and help myself. And if I can just do more and educate myself more, I took a 6-week course and another 6-week course is coming up. I just want to be able to be an asset, and that will allow me to bring in more funding because I can't help women if I don't have the money. I went through the stages of growth where I've given my all because I didn't, I couldn't get the funding. So I said, hey, you know, I'll use my money to help them, and it hurts. So I want to be able to be, you know, better, and I want my organization to be bigger and stronger. So whatever I can do as far as educating myself and doing more, and it brings in funding, hey,
I'm all here for it.
You know, it's so weighs heavy on my heart listening to both of you ladies that talk about, you know, needing an accountant, or you're having to write your own grants, and, you know, I don't know. And again, I don't think the DC area is anything that we all want to brag about right now because of who's in office. But for some reason, I have been absolutely humbled by the number of volunteers that I have. So I mean, this year alone, we've clocked about almost 7,000 hours of volunteers. We have pro bono attorneys. We have pro bono accountants. We have pro bono media people. We have pro bono grant writers. It saddens my heart that I know there are people around you who should be helping you, especially Monica. We are neighbors. You know, there should be, you know, we need to connect. And Marilyn, I wish there was a way for me to connect with you to know exactly what's going on in your country. But Monica, you know, we must form an absolute connection, because my job is to help you and your job is to help me. And I'm telling you that there's people we can connect to that who can give you that one up. That, by the way, you know, you're not asking for a handout. You're asking for people to do what we all should be doing, which is taking responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely, because the welfare of children is everybody's responsibility. I mean, I get tired over here where, you know, everyone's, oh, it's the police. Oh, it has to be social services. No, it's every single person is responsible. When you see children walking down the street, checking out they're all in a hopefully a safe place, making sure we don't have any exploitation gangs hanging around them, opening your vision, being aware, as you rightly say, taking responsibility. It is everybody's responsibility. So I think what I might do actually is just thinking, asking for pro bono people on LinkedIn. I mean, I've got over 1,000 people are joined with me on LinkedIn, and it might not be them, but maybe they do know someone. And actually, you've given me an idea there. So, you know, you've got it.
A well table isn't for nothing. This is exciting.
You know, I people should be doing that, though, because if you know, what is it, a few hours a week? You're not Save the Children. None of us, the three of us, are not Save the Children or UNICEF or the International Red Cross. You know, but if you've got those skills needed, you know, it takes a lot of stress off me that can make me more effective. And I'm sure Monica and Rob's got it sorted pretty much. But I'm sure Monica would feel the same. It takes a lot of stress off. I mean, and I think we are examples of how we've turned dark areas into our life and use those positively into silver linings for other people. And I think we're examples of, you don't have, you know, you can bounce back and you can do something with that pain and make it something for other people. I mean, I don't think you can put a value on a lived experience.
And I agree. And it's taking pain and making pain into purpose. And, you know, and I'm going to tell you, Monica, especially just goes out to you again, Monica. I'm telling you, and I love the fact that Marilyn said LinkedIn. I'm a big LinkedIn guy, too. You know, I truly believe that if you ask, people will give. If you said it in the beginning, Monica, that you're big on networking. And my gosh, I wish the three of us could just have a meeting and talk about how can we support each other to build our charities, because each and every one of us have a charity that is so needed. So what we should do, and again, sorry, ladies, you know, but...
No, this is exactly this is our dream. This is our dream. Like, you guys are doing our dream. We were like, we're going to put three people together, and hopefully, and it's working.
Yeah, and what I would also say is to look at things of how we can benefit each other, as Marilyn said, you know, LinkedIn. I'm like Marilyn. I mean, I'm a little over 5,000 followers on LinkedIn. That's exactly how, you know, I got my pro bono attorney. You know,
that's what I'm thinking of, because when I wanted to get some more consultants to help with the training in different areas around the UK, I thought, I'll put an effort out on LinkedIn. And I had about 16 people immediately reply. And sometimes, as you say, it is other people and using the media. Oh my goodness, that does help. If you go on Sky, I do a lot with Sky 3, Chrissy B show, and that's apparently really big in Africa. It's amazing when you get contacted by someone who I want to join you, you think, well, have you heard of me? But I do think this networking we're doing now is so important. You know, the world is quite small, really. I mean, you know, the fact that there's a massive ocean between, you know, the States and us, it's a small world. It's a small world. And people with using technology, as we are now doing, is just the best way. And that's the good bit about technology. Using it in the way we're doing is a really good way of using it, and people have to use, I think, technology more with their networking.
How do you guys
ask the question?
I'd love to ask the question of the size of your boards. What's the size of your boards as a 501c3?
As a 501c3, I'm only three people on my word. I have three people on my board. And we, honestly, we did a volunteer sign up before, and we got about 16 volunteers. We don't have a location. I work directly out of my home. Yes. So everything we do is maybe just basically going to renting out a space for a moment or an event that we have, or going to build relationships with the schools. And they allow us to come in during January and February so that we can speak to about healthy dating. So we do a lot of that. Like, we do a lot of just out-of-pocket stuff. And we through Walmart, we may get volunteers who come from Walmart, and then they give us small grants for that. So it's just amazing to hear. And definitely, Rob, you've inspired me just off these few minutes on this call, because, you know, sometimes it gets overwhelming, and it's like I'm getting emotional about it, because it allows us to just see that people are really making strides. And God knows we made some strides. And and just thanking the girls, the ladies, because they have always believed in us, always supported us. Every time we had an event, they pretty much tried their best to get to it, and they've been amazing. But it's just seeing that even there's other people who are making wonderful strides just inspires me more. And I mean, I'm gonna get, I actually don't have a LinkedIn, so this will be my way to set up a LinkedIn. I'm gonna get one today. I'm gonna get one today, and I want to make sure I reach out to you guys and send you guys so you can look out for it. But yeah, this is inspiring. Like, today's just been amazing. So this
is number one. You got a 501c3, okay? Yes. Marilyn, I'm not trying to cut you out of this story, but you've got a 501c3. So yes. The first thing that you need to do as you leave this call is, number one, you really need to look inside of yourself and find out how your board is supporting you. Okay. I have what they call a working board. My board originally started with 5, went to 15. I'm back down to 5. The reason I grew to 15 is because I needed a bigger working board. That means we all had tasks. We all had duties. The second thing I want you to do is I want to make sure that you have a Facebook page, You can have but now what I want you to do is promote the birthdays on your Facebook page. I don't know if you know anything about this new Facebook promoting of birthdays, but we literally get thousands, and I mean thousands of dollars a month from people who believe in our organization, who click on support this charity for their birthday. People get $5.
$2, oh, I see. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And Marilyn, you can do this as well. Facebook,
oh, definitely.
And you would
have got it. And what happens? I'm not very active on Facebook, but we've got a Facebook.
You've got to be active. Social media, let me tell you, I have a video out. I have over 130 million views on my video. And the reason for that is because I am in their face. And I'm doing videos when tears are coming down my face, when I've had the worst day. And I'm doing videos, as I did yesterday, where I was able to go and ring a doorbell to a child who's aging out of foster care and give her a check for $1,500 to buy her dorm stuff. I am in people's face, and you've got to be in people's face. And what I'm trying to say is that I don't know it all, but I will tell you this much. I went from in my garage starting this charity with my husband and my 4 children to now I have this facility, which, by the way, the county gave me. The county. And why? Because I knocked on their door. And I said to them, you have got to give. You have got to give. And by the way, if you're not going to give, I'm going to the next door. And I'm going to go to the next door. And I'm going to go to the next door. Every time there was for someone to talk, Monica, I'm telling you, I see the tears.
Come on, you
guys. No, we have make a
show. We're the same size as you, Monica. We've got 3 on our board. We struggle. We've picked up some real rotten eggs along the way, and it is such a struggle when you can't, like, I mean, I actually fund, I'm using my money to even fund, and we have your pensions to fund what we've got to do. I get days like that as well, Monica, when I think, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? I've done this for 15 years with a passion, but it's so wrong that you should be feeling and crying about this. People that are not helping us are the people that should be crying. One day they may need us. And do you know, I was speaking to a very high up officer, police officer, the other day, and he said to me, you know, you do a lot on media, you do with the training and all this, you'll never know the hundreds and thousands of people you help just by going on media and talking about what you do. It may be something that's made them think. But he also said, the trouble is with small organisations that don't manage to get funding, and this is true, because I've been feeling like you so often, that they pack it in through burnout. They are sick and tired and worn out of having to keep pushing water uphill and having doors slammed in their face, and it's so demoralising. And you go away, you pick yourself up, you have to start all over again. But the number of times, sometimes when you get attacked by people and, you know, cyber trolls and things like that, and, you know, there are some real creeps that hang around these things, I think.
Well, you guys,
Monica, I'd like to know where the tears come from.
It's a tough thing, but I mean, every time I have had times where I just want to give up, but it's been like God continues to tell me don't give up. So I know it was just inspiring. It was very inspiring.
You know, Monica, I will tell you that I believe that every single person that enters your life for a reason.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that, you know, as much as I wanted to push this call back and, you know, my schedule's crazy, I knew I needed to be
on. I'm taking it from work. Like, I'm at work.
And
I'm in a huddle room.
I'm glad I took this call. I'm glad that because I'm telling you, there are big things going to happen for you. Big things that are going to happen for you, Marilyn. I know that, Monica, we are right on the cliff of people seeing. Because you know what I saw when I saw your tears? I saw your heart.
Yeah.
I saw your heart. And that's what we have to show people, is that the heart that you have is something that no other person has like you do. And we're going to make it. We're going to make it.
Yeah.
You know? You met me, and now you're stuck with me. You know? And we're going to make it. Because what you have to offer, I lived it. I lived it. I watched my mother get beat like there has never been any beatings. And by the way, most of you think that only women are the ones who are in shelters.
No, not at all.
I have a book coming out in November, and there's many chapters in my book about my first relationship where I was beat and I had to leave in the middle of the night. So I get it. I get it. And we need more people like you, because then if we have more people like you, we don't have as many kids that Marilyn has to heal. And we don't have as many kids that I need to make sure they get a case. Because it starts somewhere, and we know it starts with what you're trying to do, which is giving people self-worth. So thank you.
I think we should probably end on those words. Let's just ask people where they can find you guys, where they can donate their time and or their money. Because, you know, sometimes if you have a person that has a skill that you need, time sometimes is worth more than
money.
No, we cannot add one thing. I'm getting the in there. Well, no,
apparently not.
Taylor, where can people find you on the internet or LinkedIn or wherever?
Me?
Yes, yeah. Marilyn.
Oh, sorry, can you ask the question again?
Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me if you go to www.ff, which is for freedom from, -a.uk. FF Hyphen A.UK, and I'm on LinkedIn. You go on the website, you'll see what we do. And we've got some really significant people who are ambassadors, and you know, and they're all great people, and that, you know, gives us sort of credibility. But I mean, it breaks my heart watching Monica and hearing Rob's story of like how he, as a little boy, saw his mother be beaten, and that breaks my heart to think of a little child. And I know it happens because I hear it every day. But when you're looking at the person who's now a grown up and tells you he watched it, that really breaks my heart to think that, how do people do this? Why? Why are people so brutal? And, you know, a little baby, 1 year old, watching his mother being beaten from its cot and all of that, it's just awful, 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 awful. And I don't understand why we can't be kinder.
Rob, you know? Oh, those are some good last words, Marilyn. Rob, where can people find you?
So, you know, first of all, I would like for people to reach out to comfortcases.org, and for that $10, $20, $30 that you're going to give, I want you to look up Monica's organization. And I want you to know that I'd like to see that money go there. Comfort Cases will be fine. And I know that we have our donors. But Monica, I want that money to flow to you. I want comfortcases.org supporters who follow us. You know, right now I think we're about 70,000 followers. I want them to pick up their computers, go to your website, and give to you. Because I'm going to tell you, you are my future. And I am so, so humbled that I got to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so Monica, if you're serious or not, I'm going to ask, because we're all not.
Well, I've got my makeup everywhere today. Well, thank you guys so much, first off, ladies, and thank you, Rob, and thank you, Marilyn. This was an amazing call. I'm so glad I hopped on. Yeah. So glad I got to meet you guys, and you truly, truly have, like, humbled me. And also, I can't say that you would be a favorite of me. I'm going to be stalking you and make sure everybody knows to come look, come to you guys' pages as well, and also to your websites. But to find me on Powerful Beginnings on Facebook, our website, powerfulbeginnings.org. We are also on Instagram as powerful_beginnings. That shows you a lot about our events and just being able to, you know, give encouragement to different women and teens out there. And we'll be having a LinkedIn soon. So, powerfulbeginnings.org and Powerful Beginnings on Facebook. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, Rob and Marilyn. You guys are amazing. Thank
I'm
you
so have much. To add Rob's link. I apologize. I haven't done that one yet. But for anyone who's like, oh, no, we can follow the ladies, just go to, as we say every time, Jade, would you like to
go to AndWeThought.com, goes to the ladies page. It's in the middle. And we will be adding Rob's email. So you guys can just click on there and it'll take you straight. It'll take you straight to where they are. And really, you guys did what we dream of our average roundtable. You guys did exactly what it was. Like, I think it went beyond our expectations. And I do. For the audience, everyone that listens to us, know that these people are amazing. And we look up to them, and one day when I am 5'2", I will be just like them. When I'm 5'2", I'm gonna be just like them. But no,
Monica, can you give me that Facebook page again, please?
Sure, Powerful Beginnings.
Okay,
Powerful. With an S.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
And you guys, what are you on Twitter? Rob, what's your Twitter?
I'm Rob Shear 6, because there's 6. In case anybody wants to see, here are my baby.
Oh, they're
my, beautiful. My baby right there. So,
they are,
you know,
so beautiful.
They're gorgeous. And that's what's awesome. Your Twitter, Monica? Are you on Twitter?
I am. It's Monica, M-O-N-I-K-A, and then Thornton, T-H-O-R-T-O-N.
So it's at Monica Thornton.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's at Rob Cheer 6.
You got it.
Perfect.
Let's do it. Let's connect, ladies. Let's
yes,
connect.
Yes, it is.
And right. By the way, I'm getting rid of
it. The Twitter, so you guys, you know, I know that this is not a conventional roundtable and everything, but you guys, you got to see behind the curtains of the nonprofits and what it really takes to be out there. And please remember to support the guys no matter what, even if it's just your time. And wisdom is all around us. If
we're open to finding it and discussing it. So peace and love, you guys, from Alona
and Jade. Bye-bye.